Well, guess what, you sons of bitches.
We're back.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
Regular episode today.
Regular episode, and we're going to do a spoiler ep.
Yeah, double duty.
Double. CFN double duty. This seems like a bad spin-off TV show.
Episode 429, ladies and gentlemen.
Buckle up.
Yeah, it's got two Comic-Con episodes back to back, and now we're back ready to talk about a giant shark movie.
Boy, halfway to 858, man. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Oh, man, I'm so close. Episode 858, when that happens, that's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, we'll have a party.
Oh, it's, yeah. You know, it's just...
Aaron will be there.
Oh, man. It's going to be so nuts.
Momentous.
It's a quarter of the way to 1716. So, well, I'm excited. I want to say,
Go ahead.
It's sounded way more confrontational than what I'm going to say. I'm going to thank everyone who came out to shows in Seattle, but I sounded like, you know what? It's time we fucking settled this score, you sons of bitches. No, people who came out to the shows in Seattle were great. Up with Mike Schmidt. I did a Political Vigilante live, and I put the clips up on YouTube. If you want to see the entire Political Vigilante episode, go to my patreon.com/GrahamElwood and become a $10 monthly subscriber, and you get bonus videos, and one of them is you get the entire Seattle Political Vigilante live. It's only the second time I've done it live. We did a game show. We had Mike Schmidt on stage asking questions. It was fantastic.
That's weird. Mike never asks questions.
No, he doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't constantly question anything.
Yeah. He's usually just quiet and taking everything in.
Yeah, he gives you one-word answers.
Yeah.
That's what Mike Schmidt does. But it was fantastic. Pearl Jam was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Did they ask questions?
Did Pearl Jam asked a lot of questions, which was weird.
Yeah.
The Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder was like, what's up with the DNC? Where's the lawsuit? And I was like, yeah, Eddie, I agree with you. Flint and water still contaminated. That's the worst Eddie Vedder impression anyone's ever done in the history of the world.
Jeremy's thirsty.
Jeremy's thirsty. It was before he blew his head off in front of the class. Jeremy prefers pizza over tacos.
You know, he sent something out to the Ocasio-Cortez campaign, and he said, we're still alive.
Rear Ohio. Oh, socialism.
So we should introduce our guest.
We should.
Yeah.
If he's going to do it.
I was going to wait, but then it's like, we're doing song puns.
He's
got to
jump in and do
here.
A Vedder.
Yeah. Everybody
couldn't
has to.
Resist.
He can't, no one's going to sit in that chair and not do a song parody.
No, it's going to happen. Aaron was getting ready, too.
Especially when I set the low bar of my horrible impressions, it's like a drunk guy kind of doing a Nickelback as Eddie Vedder. But let's introduce.
Well, that is Nickelback.
Yeah, that is. That's if Eddie Vedder gets drunk and inaudible, then it's Nickelback.
Yeah, that is.
If Eddie Vedder gets drunk and stops caring, you got yourself Nickelback.
If he didn't care about the product he was putting out on stage, they played for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Pearl Jam did.
Just to make sure Nickelback didn't come
just
on stage.
Just to make sure they wouldn't allow him.
Yeah.
And they did.
Do you think Creed finally went, oh, thank God Nickelback's here. Now people stop making fun of us.
Yeah. They must have. Thank God.
But then Scott Stapp was like, I'm not going to be outdone. Give me a webcam. I have some ideas that need to be shared.
Yeah.
ISIS are chasing me and my children. Put that on YouTube.
Hero. My video cam. And they also, their concert, they're playing in 4 or 5 cities in big stadiums, and it's all to raise money for homelessness, and they've raised $11 million.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm very excited for that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, our guest.
He's been on the show once before, yes. I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're bringing him back because he likes big sharks.
Yeah, he does. You know what, Graham? I was thrilled. Like, when you asked me, I was just like, Graham thinks that we've spent enough time in a car together that he's like, who do I feel comfortable asking to see the Meg in theaters? I know Ron will do it.
Yeah.
And it really made me feel good. I was like, aw, that's
well, that's
honored.
Good. I'm glad, because we were talking about, you know, he was like, hey, I want to come on and maybe do a spoiler up. I said, oh, and you picked some really cool indie film. Can we talk about this? And I was like, close.
Can we do Eighth Grade?
He's a, that was the movie.
My girlfriend really wanted to see Eighth Grade, so we went and we saw that. So I was just like, well, I want to, my girlfriend wants to see this, so we're going to go see it.
Let's talk about this really heady, I was like, close, Ron. We're going to talk about a prehistoric shark that gets let loose, but you're right in the same vein, buddy. It's just like somebody saying, do you want to go eat Ethiopian food? Absolutely. First, Chipotle.
Yeah.
So,
second, E. coli.
Middle school problems. How about ocean problems?
Ocean problems. How about the world's problems now?
You know, a giant shark affects every middle school.
It really does. It really does. If you're worried about what school your kids are going to go to, and there's a giant shark running
loose. Have we said Ron's name yet?
No, we never can say it.
I'm trying to remember.
No, don't say his full name. No. It's like the Candyman. If you say it three times, he comes back. No, it's Ron Placone, everybody.
Hello.
From the Jimmy Dore Show and from Get Your News On with Ron.
Yeah.
The daily news.
Well, I'm streaming it. I stream it live on my YouTube channel and on Twitter and on Facebook. Just Ron Placone. I do that Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, the podcast version comes out.
Ooh.
And the podcast is very new. It's 3 weeks old. But you can get that on iTunes, you know, anywhere you get your podcast. It's just to Get Your News On with Ron podcast. So.
Nice. And Ron and I have also done two progressive comedy tours, and we've got one coming up in November.
Nice.
Going to Sacramento November 2nd, San Francisco November 3rd.
Yep.
Guess what? The Sacramento show is almost a third. It's almost a halfway sold out, right?
Almost. So get your tickets now. RonPlacone.com, and then I'm sure
GrahamElwood.com
got it up on your website too. So get your tickets now, folks.
Yeah. So Sacramento's already
it's selling out.
It's August, and a November show is almost halfway sold out. So
that's great.
We might be adding shows. There's talk of doing a political.
You shouldn't
vigilante.
Have downplayed it so much. First, it was almost. Then it was halfway. Then it was almost halfway.
The show is almost sold out. You better act now. Yeah, I've sort of unhyped it. Tickets are moving fast. Not that fast, you know, just at a moderate rate.
I mean, not like crazy fast, but like fast. Like, it's like,
there's a speed to
like
it.
Tomorrow works is what we're saying, but you should grab them.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to get them immediately, but just don't dawdle. I think is what I'm saying. Don't dawdle. Yeah, we might be adding shows because I had so much fun doing Political Vigilante Live in Seattle. We're maybe going to add that somewhere, so... And it's a great way to support everything we're doing. So check that out, folks. But now let's get into...
Oh, let's talk about the Meg. And there's some great trivia on this, which was really interesting. Like that,
I need to say this real quick. We will be doing a separate The Meg spoiler app.
With Ron.
With Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, did we rope him into this.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, what's crazy is I think I could have spoiled it without seeing it. I think I could have just been like, hey, guys, this is what happened, and I would have nailed it.
Yes.
Nobody would have known.
Nobody would have known.
The Meg is based on the book Meg, a novel of deep terror.
Mm-hmm.
And it was initially set up at Disney in 1997 when the book was published. A bid which cost the studio nearly $1 million in 1997. And that's 1997 right. dollars, Graham.
Right.
And then it went into turnaround and didn't want to compete with Deep Blue Sea, which is hilarious. Then it went to Guillermo del Toro and then Jan de Bont. So it went all over the place. George Clooney vehicle at one point. But this is one thing that I think the studio really got right, and I'm glad this didn't happen. Eli Roth was attached as director before he was replaced with John Turteltaub. Roth left due to creative differences with the studio, namely that he wanted the film to maintain both its R rating and $150 million budget. It's also rumored that Roth, on top of writing and directing, also wanted to play the lead role of Jonas, but the studio believed he didn't have the star power. The studio was correct.
PG-13 was the final product.
And here's the thing. If Eli Roth had directed this film, it would have been over-the-top bloody and gross. And also, it would not have had the PG-13 rating, obviously, but it would also have eliminated a fair amount of the audience because this is one of those, you know, fantasy, Jurassic Parky, big sharky things that teens are going to love. Like, my kids really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And but there's no way I would have taken them to an Eli Roth R-rated shark movie.
No way.
No, I would have kept, you know, far clear of that. I probably wouldn't have gone to see it.
No, they kept it at $130 million, which is a fine price tag for this.
That's a rather large price tag anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I would have loved to have seen how he gets the shark to torture someone, though.
Yeah. Shark hostel.
So. Shark hostel. That's what Eli Ross would have done. Shark hostel.
So it's interesting. Like, you know, John Turteltaub is one of those directors that, you know, you look at. No one's going, oh, I can't wait for the next John Turteltaub movie.
No one's ever said that.
No,
in history.
No, even John Turteltaub's never said that. So, because you know, you look at National Treasure, and they're all kind of like, eh, they're okay movies. Like, and this movie really. It was interesting. Like, it had that kind of, while I liked the film, it had that kind of John Turteltaub flatness to part of it, where it's like, this could have been a little more interesting, a little more campy. Like, give me an example. What if James Gunn had directed this movie? Mm. What it would have looked like? How much campier, how much more fun it actually would have been?
Are you saying you had a problem with it because it wasn't? You thought it should have been more campy?
I thought it should have been more campy, for sure. Well, especially when you saw the trailer. Like, whoever edited the trailer wanted a much more campy movie. I mean, with the music and the way the jokes were edited together. Like, there were a couple scenes in this film that were like way more dramatic than I was expecting for a giant shark, you know, crazy movie. Like I think they really, really were trying to channel Jaws in a couple places. Like, Jaws essentially is a drama with a shark. I mean, it was a very character-driven drama, whereas this, it's a giant prehistoric shark. Where are you going to go except campy with this? Are you really going to take this very seriously?
Well, you know, and, it's funny you say this because my, like, just going on this, my assessment was I was kind of watching a movie that wasn't sure of its identity.
Right.
I think that part of it was going that campy direction, but then part of it sort of wanted to be a serious drama.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's really
what it
felt like.
Here's an interesting side note. When I saw it, there were some people that were taking it as the campiness, and they were laughing at times where it wasn't trying to be funny.
Right.
But it was funny.
Right.
And they were just watching it that way, as if they were watching Sharknado.
Right.
And then there were other people in the theater getting annoyed with those people because they thought they were at Jaws. And it was and it was sort of interesting to see. And to me, that was a reflection of this movie doesn't have its identity.
Right.
And I saw that as a flaw in the film.
It for sure. I agree. And it really, that lies solely with the director. Like, the director is kind of in charge of all those things, especially with tone. Tone is like the main thing, and it's also something very difficult to get right when you're when you've got like a movie like this. You really got to commit one way or the other. Are you going to make it Jaws, or are you going to make it you know, campier? Are you going like you can't, you know, take pieces and bit and, like, you know, choose. Like, to give you an example, like, if you have a Sharknado movie and you have a really poignant character scene, that's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Or if you have Jaws and you have, like, some goofy, funny, you know, scene that's played for laughs with the shark eating people, it's like, well, then that doesn't fit either.
Right.
So you kind of have to pick a lane and kind of stay there.
Well, that's
there,
the thing, too. Like, with Jaws, it had some kind of funny moments, but they were more like...
They were character-driven.
They were character-driven, and they were comic relief.
Right.
Like, when the kids had the fake fin and they're swimming around, and everyone's, because it builds up this tension, like, oh shit, and then the kids, like, he made me do it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it's like a relief.
Right.
It's not, it wasn't wacky.
Right.
It was also very plausible that some dumb kids would do this stupid crap in the middle of this real scare.
Yeah.
By the dog. Pretty much every great drama has those brief bouts of, like, properly timed humor relief. But they're not. They
going
don't
all the way back to Shakespeare.
When they dive into absurdity, like in the campy sense, that's when it's like you're having an identity crisis.
Like, if you watch the trailer, you get the impression this is a campy, self-aware, very fun, funny movie.
It's Jaws meets Sharknado.
Yeah, yeah. And when you watch the film, like, it's interesting that, like, some of those jokes, the way they were structured in the trailer, were taken from disparate scenes. Like, they weren't connected. Like this guy talking here and this guy talking here set up punchline. Oh, no, they were two completely separate scenes without the joke. And then he put them together as a joke in the trailer. So, like it was interesting, like, you know, the way the trailer editor put it together of, like, a different movie tonally than the movie actually was. Now, was it that far off? No. It's still a giant shark movie, and it's still silly and fun and funny. And I thought Jason Statham was fantastic in this movie. I really wanted to see him punch the shark at one point or kick it. There had to be some kind of karate in the movie. There was not. But at the same time...
Shark like karate?
Yeah. And the thing about Jason Statham is... what I love about him is when you hire Jason Statham, man, you get Jason Statham. You know, there's not like he phoned it in. There's not like, well, his character was off. It's like, no, you get the crank Jason Statham. You get the Fast and Furious Jason Statham. You get that Jason Statham in The Meg. You got him. He's
right.
Yeah. And, you know, watching him was just really fun the entire way, all the way through. The supporting characters were not as, you know, not that any character was fully developed, but the supporting characters were definitely kind of left in the wind a little bit for sure. Although that one, there was one actress that the short hair, like the computer genius. Remember who I'm talking about with the tattoos?
Yes.
I swear to God, her...
Ruby Rose.
Yeah, Ruby Rose. Her skin was so perfect and so porcelain. I thought she was a CG character at one point. Yeah. Like, you know, looking at it, I'm like, my God.
She's like an Australian model or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, nobody's skin is that perfect in outside of a computer.
Yeah, you know? And her hair was always perfect.
Yeah, her hair
was very video game-esque, too.
Right,
like,
it was right.
Like,
very much like... She looked like an anime character. Mm. She really... And... but I thought like it kind of hit all those beats of like I really liked the way the movie set itself up like a really old school like monster movie. Like it had that like sense of dread. It had that kind of slow build and slow burn, and I liked the way it started and kind of set up. The problem is it just took too long. Then we're like, okay, well, we're set up now. Let's get it moving. And then so I think it was like there was a little bit of a pacing issue, but I think one of the problems was I was a little too excited to see this movie. I think that was one of the problems. Like, I really...
Did you go on all Maze Runner-y, Chris? Is that
I almost went Maze Runner-y. Yeah, I did. I was like, I've still learned my lesson. But, you know, the trailer I loved and Jason Statham, I just loved the idea of, like, you know, a campy monster movie, sharkish thing. And, you know, it didn't quite live up to my... overly inflated expectations.
Ron, what were your expectations? Were you just mad that we weren't going to talk about eighth grade?
I wasn't mad about not talking about eighth grade. I mean, I thought that was just okay when I saw it. I mean, I didn't dislike it, but it was just kind of like, okay, cool. That was more like, my girlfriend wants to see it, so I'm going. So I know I'm going. But I didn't have super high expectations just because I knew what kind of movie it was going to be.
Yeah.
And again, I just kind of thought like, well, I feel like you're a little bit, you don't have your identity down. Either give me a more Sharknado type movie or give me a more serious. Now, it had the plot line that they totally could have gone one way or the other with it. I mean, they could have made a legit action drama out of this, given the plot line, which I thought was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole idea that the seafloor is, in fact, lower and stuff like that.
You get into Pacific Rim territory.
Which was cool.
It was interesting.
That was really cool.
I mean, that was really cool. That was really interesting. So to get what you were saying about how it set it up well and then it sort of let me down... I agree 110%. It's one of those things, if they show me the first 20 minutes of the movie, stopped it, said, do you want to keep going? I would have been like, hell yeah, I want to keep going. Then after the movie, I would have been like, I've been wrong before, I'll be wrong again. What can I say? Swing and a miss. That was, as far as supporting people go, the one kind of shout out I'll give to, I liked what Rainn Wilson did. Mm-hmm. With his character.
Right.
I felt like that was the only character where there was a little bit of dynamic going on there.
Right.
At first, he was likable, mostly because it's like it's Rainn Wilson, and you see him, and you like that character
playing
right
a billionaire
away.
Who funded the entire research
A dick
station.
Billionaire, yeah.
But the dick, I felt, came out a little later.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The dick, I thought. Like at
and
first,
justified because, you know, a lot of those tech billionaires are dicks.
Totally. Oh, 110%. But it's like his kind of... His actual, I thought, like, sinister end was later. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought he kind of played it well and kind of did the most you could.
Because he started off as that kind of, like, boy child, billionaire who just like, come on, bring it in, give me a hug, and you know, that kind of like,
yeah, like harmless bro, hey, you've had everything handed to you, but you're as cool as you can possibly be,
right?
Because at least you're doing something productive to society with your money. Okay, cool. I'm listening. And then you kind of, you know, there was this more sinister.
We'll go more into that in the spoiler
revealed later.
Let me ask you guys this question, because this was like a rather large plot hole that bothered me. Do you remember in Jurassic World where there was, I think it was, what was the character? The guy that plays Kingpin. What's his name? Vincent D'Onofrio. He wanted to weaponize the dinosaurs. Like, that was like the big thing.
Sure.
It's like, I'm going to weaponize the raptors. They're killing machines. Yeah. We're gonna put army uniforms. I don't know what we're gonna do, but we're gonna weaponize them. This eccentric billionaire in the Meg created this giant research station. They find a giant shark. And he said, you know, this is, someone else is going to beat us to it. We can't wait that long. There's money to be made. Like, there's millions to be made here. Okay. How do you make money from a giant shark swimming around?
Yeah.
Like, where's the investment there?
Well,
how do you monetize a giant shark swimming
people getting
around
murdered
the ocean?
At popular beaches.
Yeah. It's like, because it's like, it kind of like, well, what's the whole point of this research station? Like, it was never explained, like, if it was something like philanthropic, like, look, I'm an eccentric billionaire. I've always loved the ocean. I think this would help kids. This is like, I'm going to fund this as a marine institute. Like, no. Now, all of a sudden, we found a giant shark, and now we have to figure out how to monetize it. But I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm just telling you that it can be done.
Right. And his initial interest was never. Yeah. It could have been as simple as, I've always loved to surf.
Yeah.
They didn't even give us that. Yeah. Like, they didn't even give us that.
Like, because it's, you know, it could have been a philanthropic thing. That's fine.
Sure.
But then it would take away from him being a dick at the end. It's like, well, I've spent all this money on this research station. I have nothing to show for him. What did you think was going to happen? You built a giant ocean research station. There's not even an oil drill here. How are you going to make the money back?
Well, okay.
He was going to teach it to torture, obviously.
So I thought, like, that was one of those things where, like, well, it could have been explained, but then I think, like, somewhere in the rewrite process, like, I think maybe his character changed or the motivations changed or and it never kind of got cleared up, like, you know, why he funded this, what his end goal was, like, what he was expecting to get out of it as far as a return. So it got a little muddy, and I think it would have been cleaned up pretty easily.
I am not sure why you guys put this much effort into this. Big shark movie. The characters are going to be two-dimensional. There's going to be a thin plot line, and a big shark's going to get loose and eat people.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
What the hell are you guys? What were you guys expecting?
I was trying to not spoil anything, Graham. This is not the spoiler episode.
Right, we'll get into that in the spoiler episode for sure, but I went in with I'm going to eat cotton candy on a roller coaster.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Nothing else is going to happen. I'm not going to learn anything. Nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to go, wow, that was healthy.
You're not going to learn about shark habits.
No, this is not going to be good exercise. No. It's just going to be cotton candy on a roller coaster. Yeah. And I had it. I just was like, I went with a film nerd fan.
Because honestly, all little gripes aside, it was a fun time at the movie.
Sure.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
I screamed. Fun. I jumped out of my seat a couple times. You did it.
Right.
You did some great shark scares.
Mm-hmm. There were some cool jump scares in it for sure.
There were some cool jump scares.
I want to mention a couple of them in the spoilers. A couple made me jump too.
Yes, there's some cool stuff. And we'll get into the spoiler. I went, oh, well, look at that. I didn't see that coming. Because I thought it was going to be so predictable. And, you know, his ex-wife's in there. You know, he's got to rescue his ex-wife, but then there's this...
What are the chances?
Gee, wow. They're both marine biologists that rescue sharks or whatever. And then, oh, this single mom, the boy, I wonder if that's going to happen. You know, like this stuff, it's like, I'm not spoiling anything. You need to watch the first 9 minutes of the movie and you'll go, yep.
Yeah. We're marking all the boxes.
Yeah, and so I was fine. And I liked the science in the beginning. Of that's cool. So there's the ocean floor, but oh, they go through this level of blah blah gas, and then there's a hotter, more new shark village or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, fine, fucking go for it. You know, like I love good thin science that's just barely put in there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I had a blast.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
And yeah. I wasn't...
We're just nitpicking.
Yeah, you guys are...
Well, no, you know what's funny?
Usually I'm the guy that nitpicks the fuck out of movies, but...
Well, you mentioned, like, low expectations and just, like, yeah, it's going to be thin. So I entertained the idea of, like, this might be a fun one to go stoned, right? And I was like, I might get high and go to this. But I knew I was going to do this podcast.
Stoned or 3D, you got to pick.
Right, right, right. And I can't, 3D gives me migraines, so it's going to be stoned every time. But
have you ever gone to 3D stoned? Does that fix the migraines?
Never tried it. Got to try it.
Thank
now
you.
I got to try it.
We need that research.
Yes.
We need to do that.
Someone's
got to
do that. All right, that's going to be a topic all on its own one of these days. But But the last time I watched a movie, you know that movie The Astronaut where that dude gets kind of stuck in space and he like ends up growing stuff and you know that movie?
Uh-huh. The Martian?
The Martian, yes. Sorry.
The yes. Astronaut? The space guy? Remember that
Martian.
Guy movie? Space guy?
Space cowboy?
Remember Spaceballs where that guy gets stuck?
Yeah.
The Martian is the movie I'm thinking of. So I watched that when I was really stoned and I'm not going to spoil anything. I thought the entire time... There was a big conspiracy against him, and they were keeping him in space. Like, I thought that the entire movie, to the point where, like, I had questions after. And all my friends were like, Ron, what are you talking about? There wasn't... Like, why is the president lying? The president's not lying, Ron. The president genuinely wants this guy to not be in space anymore. And I was like, no. I don't know why I was... So my point is, I was worried that if I got stoned, like, I would... Like, I'd be here, and you'd be like, Ron, did you... See the movie? Like, that's not, like I would have screwed it up somehow. Yeah. And I'd be like, it was a lobster the whole time. And be like, what?
Yeah. We need to fight for more shark rights.
Yeah, Ron would have become a shark activist.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get into it in the spoiler.
Yeah, for sure.
But
it was a fun time.
It's fun time to movies.
And honestly, summer... Especially like, you know, kind of end July, you know, beginning of August, mid-August, perfect time to release this movie.
Perfect time to release this movie.
Yeah, it's when everyone's already in the ocean.
Yes.
You know, it's the summer. It was perfect.
I went surfing this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was not worried about
a
Meg.
No, you weren't worried about a Meg?
I was not worried about a Meg coming in.
So, okay, the next movie I saw was Extinction.
What?
And this movie was another streaming movie. Originally produced by Universal for a nationwide theatrical release, but was instead offloaded to Netflix for an undisclosed amount.
Well, Netflix has a pretty big checkbook.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Netflix not only does have a pretty big checkbook, I think there is a there's collusion between all the studios right now to raise their Rotten Tomatoes scores for all their movies. So what they're doing is they're selling all their shitty movies to Netflix. I really think that there's, like, they're literally using Netflix to offload their shitty movies. Because that's what it feels like. Everyone I've seen has been awful. And this one is no exception. So I think what's happening now is Netflix needs content. They're buying these movies probably, you know, at a premium. Because they're big studio movies. They're not cheap movies. And they're getting content for a subscriber base that doesn't seem to mind that these movies are subpar. And, you know, the studios are offloading these subpar movies. It happened again with, you know, Warner Brothers. Remember we saw the new Jungle Book movie that Warner Brothers put out? Like, they're already started the marketing campaign. Netflix came in, swooped it up. It's gone. It's Warner Brothers isn't releasing anymore. Netflix is going to put it, they're putting it on their service.
It's not a bad theory, man.
So, because that tells me that the movie must be awful. Because I doubt it's as good as the Jon Favreau one.
Right.
So this movie... has a great setup. It's like one of those Total Recall kind of science fiction movies. Like, you know, somebody's getting flashes in their memory. Like, well, did this really happen? Is there a conspiracy? What's going on? Is there going to be an alien invasion? Do I need to protect my family? All of these things are set up with Michael Peña, which is really interesting. And then about 20 minutes in, they all get abandoned. And then they come back in a very sloppy way towards the end of the movie. So it's this mess of science fiction and you know, alien invasion cliches and artificial intelligence, all these things mashed together from better movies. And it just plods on at this weird pace. And then it just finally ends. And you're like, okay, well, I can see why Universal didn't want to keep this movie. But it was one of those movies, too. Like, you know, if you have Netflix, it's definitely, it's worth watching the first 20 minutes, shutting it off, and then just go, well, let me write the rest of it myself, and then it'll be a better movie. So it did all these weird things, like, and it took itself so seriously, this movie. And, you know, it had all these weird plot threads. It had Luke Cage was in it, Mike Coulter. Yeah, he was like kind of a supporting character. He was in it, and but it's really funny the way, like, it really felt like a first draft of a sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. Like, or somebody in development read like the first act, like, this is fantastic, we need to buy this movie and make it, and then didn't read the rest of the script. So because I don't think anyone did. And so the movie has a great setup, goes off the rails for an hour, and then tries to bring everything together in like the last 10, 15 minutes. But the problem is, by then you are so uninvested in the film that you don't care that they're trying to wrap it up or tie things together at the end, because you have that whole hour chunk in the middle that is like, you know, meaningless, that has nothing to do with the beginning of the film. So it was poorly structured, poorly put together. And you know, again, Netflix big marketing campaign too, like, they were like, you know, see all these original movies we have on our platform, you got to check them out. I'm like, no, watch the series.
Yeah.
Avoid these movies. So I have yet to see a better movie than Cargo. So I'm hoping Netflix will acquire or at least make one of them.
I want to bring this up. I forgot to. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about this in a while. I think I saw the Teen Titan animated movie.
Teen Titans Go to the Movies?
Yeah.
Oh man! Again, I wanted to see that. We didn't get a chance to yet.
It's fantastic.
I knew it would be too. I was like excited to see it.
So great.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the jokes. Like, this is, it's got so many.
It's Deadpool for kids.
It's Deadpool for kids, but mm-hmm. like great jokes for the adults.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a great line in there, and I'm going to spoil it, where they flash back to Batman's origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And young Bruce Wayne comes out of the movie theater with his parents. He goes, thanks, Dad, for taking me to see me this movie in this really bad neighborhood. it's just shit like that.
Yeah,
and then in the frame, in the background, there'll be store signs, and the signs all have jokes in them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it with the kid I'm a big brother to.
Right.
He's 11. He had a blast.
Yeah. And he didn't get all the jokes, I'll bet, too.
He did not get all the jokes. But he, you know, he likes all the Marvel movies. So any of the jokes to Marvel, he was like laughing. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's from the Marvel world.
Stop calling me Deadpool.
Yeah. My God, that joke's great. The movie is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a superhero movie fan, you got to see this.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's all the jokes. It's making fun of DC. It makes fun of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. It's a great film.
I really want to see it. And one thing, too, that I like about it, too, they didn't ship it overseas to animate. They actually animated it here all in Flash. So, and they said it like it shortened the time, something like that. It was made like in like less than a year, something like that. So, but it looked really fun. I still can't wait to see it. My kids both want to see it, so we'll probably go.
Your whole family's going to love it.
Yeah, yeah, can't wait.
Because your kids have seen all the Marvel films.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They've seen some of the DC movies.
Yep.
They're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's the jokes in, like, I was laughing out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the Deadpool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember seeing the trailer, and the trailer made me laugh a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, but it's a good point, is sometimes in a comedy, it's always a letdown if the five funniest scenes were all in the trailer.
On the trailer, right. Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
That happens sometimes.
This happens a lot. Yeah. But this movie, man, the trailer does exactly what it should do.
Right.
Just give you a taste, a little tease, and the rest of the movie is awesome.
How was Nicolas Cage as Superman?
Oh, my God. And that's so funny, knowing the story of him almost playing Superman. And, like, that... So this is so many inside jokes.
Right.
There's so many layers. I feel like I need to watch this movie three or four more times because there's probably another dozen jokes I missed.
Right.
It's great.
Very cool. So, and then the last movie is Wonder Wheel. This is actually another streaming movie, but it's on, it's with a deal with Amazon and Woody Allen. And this one got completely savaged by the critics. So I went into this movie with very low expectations. You know, I grew up watching Woody Allen movies, and, you know, he's in his 80s now. He's very creepy, got a, you know, horrible past and, you know, horrible activities. But what I found fascinating about this movie as I was watching it is that there's themes in every Woody Allen movie that come over and over again. And some of them are like, what are you doing? Like, this is, you know, like Manhattan's really hard to watch now just by seeing like what came out about Woody Allen. But this one, it's like, you know, Justin Timberlake is having an affair with Justin Timberlake, by the way. Is playing a lifeguard in his early 20s. He's probably late 30s by now.
Yeah.
But, but he plays. I'm like, okay, you're in college. I got it. Okay. So he has an affair with Kate Winslet's character, but then starts to fall in love with her stepdaughter. I'm like, what? Like, what are you doing? Like, first of all, yeah, we know there's no good marriages in a Woody Allen movie. There's always an affair. They always break up, and I got it. Okay, we're gonna see that in every Woody Allen movie. But you know, you don't need to put all this creepy stuff in that's reflecting your actual life. The movie is not great. It's definitely not one of his better films, and it also has like this weird creepiness to it because of his personal life. So parts of it were like, I'm not sure like what he was thinking, like, or what anybody was thinking that greenlit. Like, I'm sure Amazon had buyer's remorse on this for sure. So there are a couple good things about it, though. I will say this: the it's set in 50s Coney Island. The production design on this film is absolutely breathtakingly, stunningly gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful to watch. Like, it was like when you're watching The Revenant, you think, oh, well, no, they didn't shoot this movie. They got a time machine and filmed people in the 1800s.
Yeah, they put GoPros on a trapper and let it run around.
So it had that feel to it. Like, this really looks like, you know, the 50s and from the costumes and the sets and the storefronts. And it said the cinematographer, Vittorio Storaro, oh, he's foreign, that's weird, for a cinematographer, took inspiration from the Coney Island paintings of artist Reginald Marsh in creating the look of the film. And the movie was shot entirely on location in Coney Island, so many of the businesses were altered to resemble shops or restaurants from the 1950s. So I will say this, for whatever reason, Woody Allen is a very talented director. He can get really good performances out of mediocre actors. Because playing opposite Kate Winslet, you would think, oh, probably another really solid actor, Jim Belushi. So, but, you know, under the direction of Woody Allen brings his A game. Like, you know, it's like, oh, that's one of the best acting I've ever seen Jim Belushi do. But him, Justin Timberlake, and, Kate Winslet does a really fine job. It's one of those things, too, that it's like, you know, the movie, apart from it looking beautiful, has no real reason to exist other than to either be some kind of weird Woody Allen confessional or some weird, like I'm just going to take pieces of my better movies and kind of cobble them together and just fill 90 minutes. So that's really kind of what it felt like. Like, there's a couple places where, you know, it has that kind of, like, poignancy and the character drama and the character motivations and the character scenes. Like, that's one thing that Woody Allen does is a lot of times his characters are layered and the motivations can be complex and they can change, but they're always believable because they feel like real people. Just like in real life, somebody might be nice one minute and horrible the next, or they might actually hit like a breaking point, which is kind of what happens in this movie. But it's all things we've seen in other Woody Allen movies. Like, it's nothing that we didn't see. There's nothing new or interesting apart from the production design as far as, like, the Woody Allen movies go. So
it's like he made some good movies for, you know, and when he sort of had this resurgence, and then when all the stuff came out about everything, it was like, ah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like, you know, I really like Blue Jasmine, and again, it's like, you know, you got a great performance out of Andrew Dice Clay. That's, you know, impressive. Not that he's a terrible actor, but, you know, a good director brings the actor to the next level, and that's what he usually does. So it's definitely not something I would tell you to rush out and go see for sure. You know, one thing I will say, though, is that if you grew up watching Woody Allen movies and, you know, you have kind of like a nostalgia and an affinity for his older movies, you could kind of watch it with that lens, because that's what it kind of feels like, pieces of his old movies just kind of cobbled together. So you get some of those moments. But as a movie together, it's not great. Yeah.
Wow, it almost sounds like the shark movie with an identity crisis took the gold medal. Who saw that coming? I didn't.
So, Ron, I don't know if you know this, but we have a new sponsor this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's Eero. This is you'll never think about Wi-Fi again. This is a whole house Wi-Fi system. Second generation, Ron. This is Gen 2, the Eero Gen 2 and the Eero Beacon. So what it is you have like your Wi-Fi, and then you have these two beacons, so you could get your entire house kind of covered after you you place them. And I put this together and set it up. You set it up through your phone, which is really cool. Now, we have Wi-Fi in the Gargoyle Garage, but we got to reach the rest of the house. So my kids are already complaining that there's no Wi-Fi in the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's not entirely unintentional. But now with the Eero, I'm able to actually get the beacons out there and actually cover the entire house. So it's been, you know, it was really good. And it was, like I said, easy to set up. It has proprietary True Mesh software. It's built in to work perfectly with the Eero hardware. It's an intelligent Wi-Fi system, and it automatically receives over-the-air software updates, so you don't have to worry about updates, which is really cool. So it has increased speed and range with tri-band radios. It sits flat on a surface, it plugs in with a power adapter and connects over Ethernet or wirelessly in any combination. So, you know, the single router model just doesn't work for our increasingly high bandwidth world. So imagine a light bulb in your living room to light your master bedroom. So, you know, Wi-Fi, the waves don't go through walls well, so you need these beacons to actually get to the rest of your house. It's a distributed system. You can install an enterprise-grade Wi-Fi system in your home in just a few minutes. All you need is the app on your phone, and it'll walk you through the process. And it lets you manage your network from the palm of your hands. So you'll know how many devices are connected and what the internet speed is. So the other thing which is great is they have great customer support, and we are not going to let you pay full price. This is really cool. With the code CFN, you'll get free overnight shipping to the U.S. or Canada. All you got to do is go to Eero.com, Eero.com, and at checkout, select overnight shipping, then enter CFN to make it free, the shipping free. The unit you still have to pay for. So check it out, Eero, Eero. Boom. You know what else we have, Graham?
What's that?
We have some Patreon sponsors.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. $50 a month, this is what you get.
Get an ad read.
And I got to tell you, these guys have been with us for a while, so their ad reads are adding up, and we appreciate the support, gentlemen. Johnny Rulon, he's promoting his novel titled Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's available on Amazon in both digital form and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And our favorite charity, the Audacity Performing Arts Project, produces after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and the lowest performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Please visit them at audacityperformingarts.com. That's audacityperformingarts.com. Johnny and Lou, much appreciated the support.
Guys, for $50 a month, mm-hmm. if you go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds, we will promote your business, URL, whatever, cause on all of our shows.
Yeah, even
it's
the spoilers.
It's a great deal. It's the best advertising deal out there.
Yeah. You can't beat it.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be an animal.
all right. Let's check out some trailers, Graham.
Oh, let's check out some
trailers. Let's do, why don't we do Lizzie first?
Let's do the Lizzie trailer. Here mm-hmm. it is on the big board, everybody. We're going to bring it up here.
Kristen Stewart's in this movie, Graham.
Right now, you can get online with HostGator.
Oh, my gosh. No, no ads. How dare you?
Watch this ad at all.
No, that's awful.
Here we go.
Oh, violence and grisly images, nudity, a scene of sexuality, and some language. It's like an HBO show.
To your knowledge, did your father have any enemies? Shall I repeat the question?
This is about the Lizzie Borden murders?
No, I heard
murder.
You.
I don't think
there. Please answer.
The new housemaid, ma'am. It's Bridget.
My name's Lizzie.
Do you find your room comfortable? It can get quite hot up there. Sometimes it's best to leave the door open. It's all right, sweet girl.
It's one of those period pieces that the only period they do is costumes. Like, they don't worry about speech or dialogue.
Have I done something?
Very contemporary dialogue.
Eat, Lizzie. I said you will eat. You would apologize to your mother.
Don't you dare call her my mother.
It crackles with tension.
You need me help. You have it. Let's be certain if you say that. I am.
This is Andrew Borden. Please place your right hand on the Bible before you. Do you swear before Almighty God to tell the truth in all matters pertaining to the murder of Andrew and Abby Borden?
The ending.
Are you afraid? What?
To your knowledge, did your father have any enemies?
Is that
this is America, sir.
Narrating?
I hope.
Every man with a pulse has enemies.
Any man with a pulse has enemies. Remember that.
Yes.
You always remember that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's another movie with a... like an identity crisis. It's like, well, is it going to be an art film or is it going to be kind of a genre exploitative film? Or no, we'll do both. Oh, okay.
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be it could be interesting. Normally, I'm not a gowns and accents movie.
Yeah, but this one's got gowns, accents, murder sex mystery. And blood.
Yeah. It's kind of murder. I like a good murder crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good murder crime.
I like a good murder crime.
Well, one thing I kind of liked in the setup was it seems like there's really, like, it totally gives that whole you can't trust anyone vibe. Mm-hmm. And right. When a movie does that well, I really like it.
It
when
can
a movie
be
doesn't do
yeah.
it well, it can be kind of hard to sit through.
Yeah,
but when they do it well...
I like cool. see that's what I that's I guess what I love about a good murder crime mystery is is that when you don't know who to trust, are the cops crooked, who's crooked, this guy had it coming, who did it, like why, you know, I like it.
I'm gonna guess. Let's am I gonna happens. Be right? You know, am I gonna guess this right? Am I gonna get it wrong?
Yep.
Yeah, and what's gonna happen?
Oh, someone's all gonna right. get murder crimed.
Now we get speaking of murder crimes, we've got the new Venom trailer.
Oh, here it comes now. Then.
Now, I want to see if this new trailer changes any minds. It didn't change mine.
I'm Eddie Brock. I'm a reporter.
I always seem to find myself...
I do love Tom Hardy, though.
...something the government may not be looking at. I found something really bad. And I have been...
Eddie. You notice how they never show how he got infected by the symbiote? It must be like a giant flat thing.
Look around at the world. What do you see? A planet on the brink of collapse.
It's always
human
on the brink
beings
of collapse.
Are disposable.
No, it's real.
But
yeah,
man
it's a
and symbiote combined.
It's no longer fantasy.
This is a new race, a new species, a higher life form. What do you want from me?
You'll find out.
I'm so sorry. We cannot just hurt people.
Look into my eyes, Eddie. The way I see it. We can do whatever we want.
That power, it's not completely awful.
You have no idea how much you're scaring me right now.
Eddie, cooperate.
I'm not really sure how Michelle Williams fits into this movie at
and
all.
You just might survive.
Guys, you do not want to do this, trust me.
Giant leaps will always come at a cost.
The villain's name is Brian. A lot of speeches about eating people.
We are Venom.
Oh, I have a parasite. Yeah. Name is Chen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you still excited about it?
I'm still excited.
Okay.
This trailer made me excited. This trailer makes me excited. Ron, what do you think about this?
I'm actually, we were talking off mic.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into it, too. I mean, first of all, there's been so many superhero remakes, and it's nice to see something that's more villain-focused, that's a little different. And I feel like that sort of used to be kind of a little bit more of the case, and I like that. Like, I like the fact that in the Tim Burton Batman movies, it was kind of more villain-centric. That was more interesting to me, especially since we all kind of knew Batman's story. I dug that. So I like Venom. So yeah, I'm intrigued.
Okay.
You know, I'm not expecting it to like knock me on my off my socks. But
all right, I'm odd man out on this one. Yeah. I'm not excited about it.
Because I think Venom is an interesting character, and Marvel is going.
It's way different than the Venom we saw in Spider-Man 3, that's for sure.
Sure. Wow. And that's the thing I like about this, and I think you get to see what the Venom character is about is that sort of dilemma of you're a vigilante.
Right.
So where do you get to do whatever you, like, what are you going to do? Just kill anybody randomly? Or are you going to just only go after the bad people? Or you have this power, you could abuse it, you could just use it for good, you could use it for your own selfish means, like.
Well, I like the fact that they're getting closer to the actual character. Like, the character in the comics, I don't know how many times they retconned it, but it was, Eddie Brock was a disgraced journalist, and he ended up, just writing for tabloids. And, he's always had that kind of, fluid, conflicted morality about him. So, it made him a really good villain because, when the symbiote bonded with him, it brought out the worst in him. But there was always that spark of there is some good buried down there somewhere, which makes for a more interesting villain.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're seeing hints of that in this new trailer that we hadn't seen before. So that could be a little interesting, but I don't know. It just feels like, what DC is doing, it's just like over CG'd, and I don't know. I'm still not loving it. But I could be wrong.
I gotta say, it's interesting you brought up Spider-Man 3 because the spinoff I'm really waiting for is a villain movie starring emo Tobey Maguire. That's what I'm waiting for. That's
coming soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, with some great musical montages in it.
Of course.
It'd be fantastic with him walking down the street.
The whole thing's going to be a musical.
Yeah.
Singing? Okay.
Perfect. So we have on DVD Avengers Infinity War.
Yes.
I can't wait to see this one again. I mean, this is one of those movies where, I'm sure there was stuff I missed the first time through.
How great is the bonus content going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I usually wait until I get I buy the Marvel movies in the phases, they release the Blu-rays, phase one, phase two, where they're all kind of together. So I'm waiting for the full phase three to come out. Do we know when, Aaron, do you know when the last phase three movie is? Is that next Avengers movie?
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Okay.
I'd assume the second Infinity War.
So I would actually, I'll probably get it in the box set. Now, the next movie is Bad Samaritan. This is kind of like an indie-ish movie, but it's one of those movies that tries too hard to be a thriller. Mm. It's like, this kind of looks interesting.
I don't even remember this movie coming out.
Yeah, well, it's I don't think it was out for very long.
What happened? They made a deal before Netflix could buy
it? Yeah, exactly. Or even Netflix went, you know, we do have standards at some point.
Or is this too good for Netflix?
Yeah, that could be too. It's like, yeah, this one's not shitty enough.
Ooh, it won one award at a festival?
Yeah, we can't have that on the service. Yeah. The next movie is How to Talk to Girls at Parties. This is based on a Neil Gaiman short story. I don't know how closely it's stayed with the short story about kind of aliens visiting, I think, the punk rock scene in London in, I think, the 70s, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but it's actually a period piece with aliens, and I think Nicole Kidman is in it. So, you know, right. I could be getting that completely wrong, but I think that's what's going on.
Punk rock and aliens, I'm in.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's, like I'm honestly like now.
Wheelhouse, Ross.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Can you pull it up real quick? But what was really interesting about this trailer? If you watch the trailer for How to Talk to Girls at Parties, it was one of those trailers that split you like right down the middle. Where I'm watching the trailer, going, "This is going to be really cool and fun and awesome and like mm-hmm. something I've never seen before," or "This is going to be an absolutely total mess that'll make no sense and it's going to be awful."
I have a feeling it will be one of those two things.
It felt like there was going to be no middle ground in this movie. It's going to be really cool and quirky or just really unwatchable. All right, let's watch the trailer. Bonus trailer, everybody. Enjoy. So,
starts with a guy driving a car.
Yeah.
That's 100% style.
Big sponsors. Okay. I can't fast forward through this ad.
Oh, how dare they?
I know. They're not. Don't buy this car because they didn't pay us.
Yes. Oh, it is 70s. Okay, London, 1977.
Let me welcome you to the punk revolution.
Yeah, this is cool. Okay.
I got a feeling inside of me.
Females are white, boys.
Let's get laid.
Hello.
Welcome.
They must be from California.
It's gonna be all right. Just corner the one that looks the loneliest and speak in short sentences.
Hello, my name is N. Short for Henry.
I'm Zan.
Now that is punk.
Do more punk to me. What do your people do on an ordinary day?
We do what we want.
Have you no restrictions?
This is unprecedented.
Really feels like a 70s. Alien movie too, like remember that David Bowie movie, like The Man Who Fell to Earth?
Yeah,
it really has that
was
feel to it.
The future.
And I can come with you.
It's gonna be all
punk,
sex and drugs and outfits and an alien.
Sex and drugs and outfits.
Yeah.
I slept at his house and met his mom.
Sorry, love.
It's my first time at this. It's taking longer than I expected, and we engaged in incomplete sexual activity.
To come home, yeah?
She's not normal. None of them are.
I bet they participate in some bizarre sex rituals.
No.
How do you know that?
I just don't see it happening.
You have less than 24 hours to rectify the situation.
You're in extreme danger. We have to leave now.
I feel alive. I feel open.
Sam needs hope.
We'll need backup.
You think you can just swallow us up? Rise up, my children!
We may have.
Nicole Kidman looks like she's having a ball.
Yeah. Like around, run around like London in a punk rock outfit and fight?
As some kind of queen alien.
Yeah. Try and fix what our parents
It's like
up.
SLC punk
Are
meets
you
E.T.
With me?
And it's in 77. I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to give this a shot.
It's like a touch of John Hughes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Should we turn my blue jacket?
Yes.
It was just, it's like I said, it's one of those movies that it looks like it got all the pieces right and put together, or it's like it's going to be a mess.
And you're going to know in 10 minutes.
Yes.
That'll be the joy of it. Like in 10 minutes, you're going to be like, I'm going to watch the rest of this, or you're going to be like, they had a good idea. They screwed it up, though.
Oh, this is why it didn't get wide distribution.
Right.
You'll say that. Yeah. You'll say that thing. Or how did they let this thing slip through?
Yeah.
All right.
So, and the premiering this week is Mile 22.
The Ronda Rousey action movie. Come on.
Isn't that Mark Wahlberg in this movie?
Sure.
Yeah,
why I would go.
Yeah. Well,
he was never heavyweight. He was never UFC champ.
Nope. And, but also I think the marketing for this movie is that like, well, you haven't seen Mark Wahlberg shoot people in a while.
Right.
It's time.
I saw some posters. I've seen some posters, though, that were Ronda Rousey.
Really?
Just her.
Oh, okay.
Because she is still, I mean, I don't think she's fighting anymore.
Yeah, but she's got a following.
She's got one of the most recognizable female athletes in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's going to go out and start thumping skulls on screen. I'm in.
Yes.
Because I loved watching her fight.
I like her, too. I think she's, you know, and...
One of my favorite... She says a lot of shit that, you know, she would, like, rub people the wrong way. I always kind of liked it. One of the things somebody said to her once, they were like... She took some criticism from some... I can't remember who. Some celebrity or something. A woman was like, oh, you have the body like a man. She goes, yeah, well, my body wasn't made to just fuck billionaires. Fucking awesome. So, yeah, I'm going to go see Mile 22 just for that.
I hope that line makes it into the movie.
Hope she just taps somebody out with an arm bar.
Yeah. Crazy Rich Asians is a kind of a romantic comedy about rich Asians.
It's based on a series of books, I found out. Mm-hmm. So it's probably, this movie is probably going to do $1 billion overseas.
It's one of those, like, Big Fat Greek Wedding kind of things.
And the books are already a huge phenomenon in like China and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be huge.
Do very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alpha, this movie, if you want to see a trailer where you go, oh, well, some billionaire threw a bunch of money at this movie and then some studio picked it up for nothing. It was, it's basically a kid rescues a wolf. And they become friends in prehistoric times. So it really looks like it was made in somebody's backyard with a green screen,
right?
And with wolves. So, but somebody still spent $60 million on it.
So for no reason.
Yeah. So somebody made money on this movie, not the investor. So.
the marketing team made money.
Yeah. Somebody made money. Well, that is our show.
That is our show.
Should we start with Ron?
Well, Ron, what do you got going? What's going on? Where can people see you?
So,
go ahead.
People can check me out on YouTube every Monday through Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Get Your News On with Ron and ronplacone.com for more information on that. Also, I'm on The Jimmy Dore Show. And get your tickets now, November 2nd, Sacramento, November 3rd, San Francisco. November 23rd, I will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I got a new merch store thanks to Comedy Film.
Really? Tell us about that, Ron.
I got a new merch store, which you can just get via my website. You can just go to ronplacone.com, hit store. It takes you straight to the Comedy Film Nerds link. You can buy a Howdy Howdy t-shirt there. And for this month only, you get free buttons when you order a
Pretty
shirt.
Pretty exciting. I just took possession of the buttons in the shirts. They look fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to support the show, you guys, is to go to the Comedy Film Nerd store.
Yes.
We always say if everybody spent $20 with us once a year, we'd be doing great. And Ron Placone is a funny comic that you should be following and supporting as well. So check it out, you guys. Go to the store and buy us stuff. And if you're in Sacramento or San Francisco the first weekend of November, come see the Progressive Comedy Tour.
Yeah.
Do it.
Also, Los Angeles, August 25th, we're doing the Comedy Film Nerds Trailer Park.
Yes, that's coming up.
At Dynasty Typewriter. It's a Saturday night show. We've got Gareth Reynolds is already confirmed.
Awesome.
So
from the Dollop?
From the Dollop. Mm-hmm. We will be taking a bunch of movie trailers, watch them, make jokes during, talk about them in between.
Graham, are tickets already on sale?
Tickets are already on sale. Mm-hmm. Just go to, are they on our website?
Maybe.
Well, go to GrahamElwood.com. Yeah. They're there for sure. Or go to Dynasty Typewriter's website. But go to GrahamElwood.com. Yes.
Play it safe.
Play it safe.
Yeah. Go to the certified websites.
And guys, a great way to support the show is to come out to the live show. So if you want us to do more live shows, the more tickets we sell, the easier
the
it is.
The more likely that is that'll happen.
Yeah, if there's a small turnout, then it's like,
well, we won't do it as much.
No. So buy your tickets, August 25th, Dynasty Typewriter, Comedy Film Nerds Trailer Park Show. It's the show, if you've ever saw us at PodFest, that's the show we've done.
Right.
We always shoot trailers, and we have some funny friends on the show, so we'll get one more guest.
Mm-hmm.
Come check it out, August 25th. Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles. Go to GrahamElwood.com to get the tickets.
Check it out.
Check it out. And of course, watch my show, Political Vigilante. There's new clips dropping all the time. and support us on the Patreon.
Yes, support us on the Patreon. Even if it's $1 or the $5 level, everything helps. $10, you get the extra episode and extra video content. Mm-hmm. Also, we have the new Comedy Film Nerds logo t-shirts. You can check that out if you're looking at your phone or our feed. You could see the new logo has been propagating, and that is now on a shirt that you could buy. And also, I want to mention the Long Ago and Far Away, the graphic novel, is at the printers. A lot of you have been emailing and saying, hey, when can I buy it at Comedy Film Nerds? I assure you, the second they end up in the Gargoyle Garage, they will be on sale in the Comedy Film Nerds store. We're making that announcement. And also, all the digital rewards have gone out. If you haven't gotten your digital reward yet from Kickstarter, email me at info@comedyfilmnerds.com. And we'll hook you up. And the physical rewards will go out as soon as the printing is done.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 429. Lock it down. Want to thank Ron Placone for being on the show. Aaron Brungart on the ones and twos. And everybody here at the All Things Comedy World Podcasting Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.